Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
And good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Barbara Eldridge, your host for Trend-Setting Women. And with me today is our leading lady, Victoria Garcia of Marketing Impressions. Good morning, Vicki.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just doing better and better, of course. It's the first of the week. Good way to kick things off. You know, you and I have done so many things together over the years that I just really thought, you know, the progression of what you have done speaks volumes for people. And well, so, you know, I started out, you know, with the show description talking about how you came out of the field of social work and ended up as a marketer. Tell me about that first, and so then we can get on to where we are now.
Well, you know, I've been working with domestic violence victims. I helped to start the first battered women's shelter in San Diego. And then I got a law degree, and I started working with attorneys to provide temporary restraining orders. And that evolved into eventually working with crime victims in general. And what a lot of what I was doing was called cause marketing. It wasn't called cause marketing at the time, but that's what it was, where you were out trying to get the word out about a certain issue and what needed to be done to correct the issue. So I was doing a lot of training of government, police officers, the public at large, certainly fundraising, and that meant educating a lot of people. And then they passed something called Proposition 13, and the funding dried up for an awful lot of social services. And I kind of looked around at my own skills, and I said, what have I been doing all these years? And I realized that I took one class at UCSD's Extension, which is pretty funny considering I have a lot of education, and it was on marketing. And I said, wait, this is what I do. This is like, it's all about writing and convincing people and understanding messaging and communications. And so I realized that that was kind of tailor-made to my skill set. So that's what I did. I started my company on a $2,000 severance check 30 years ago. And now I gross, I don't know, in the six figures. But that social work background has really helped me because it gave me the ability to kind of interview people and pick their brains and figure out what they needed, but also to understand the target market and what they need and what they're looking for. So empathy in a business is very helpful. So that's how it sort of evolved. You know, to jump the jump between nonprofits and the for-profit world was pretty scary, but because I'd never charged anybody for anything, but I got over it eventually. And so that's, you know, that's how that transition happened. So you got to be nimble and you got to be willing to, you know, take a look at what's facing you and change with the go with the flow. You know.
Well, obviously the social worker still exists. You mentioned the word cause marketing, and right now you have jumped into, I don't even want to call it a trend, but, you know, an issue that has come up about the veteran population, you know, all of them out there looking for jobs that don't exist. And so, you know, you've worked with entrepreneurs for over 30 years. Why vets and why now? You know,
well,
you know, this whole veteran entrepreneurs today is the program that you're moving with.
Well, you know, I was hearing a lot about veterans on TV, on the radio, all over the place, and that the government was just charging millions of people who'd been in the service for quite a long time, and I thought, gosh, we need to do something for vets. That's kind of my initial idea. So I started going to the San Diego Veterans Coalition, which is all the services in San Diego for veterans, and I quickly realized that they were pushing everybody towards getting a job, get an education, don't beat your wife, good idea, don't be homeless, and then get an education, use a GI Bill, and then get a job. Well, wait a minute, there's another alternative. That's what I thought. So having worked with entrepreneurs for a long time and realizing that a number of those are veterans anyway, I approached my partner, the person that I pull into these things, you, and I said,
the person on the other side of the phone.
The other person on the other side of the phone. And as usual, she was game. And so we thought, why don't we apply the same programs that we're doing for non-veterans, the Mind Masters program, the group support and mentoring, and one-on-one mentoring for veterans, and give them an alternative. And when we poked our head up, this was about close to 3 years ago, there was nothing in the nation interested in entrepreneurship for veterans, save for one program at Syracuse University. And so we started beating the drum. And sure enough, we found out that there were statistics that a significant portion of the veterans population was interested in starting up and running a business. And, you know, I started writing for a magazine called Homeland Magazine, and one of the myths about entrepreneurship is that people are following their dream that they've had for their whole lives. Wrong. A lot of people start a business because they don't have a choice, because they can't find a job. And so that's just as legitimate as chasing your dream. So we started starting to call out to veterans that were interested in entrepreneurship, and they started showing up on our doorstep, and we learned a lot from that. So that's kind of the genesis of it. We just applied the same principles that we apply to non-veterans, but we tailored it to veterans because we discovered that veterans like to be in the company of other vets, that they understand each other. And so that was our premise, and that's where we've gone from. Now, over the 2.5 years, almost 3 years, there have been things that have started to bubble up. The SBA, there's a Veterans Business Opportunity Center in San Francisco. They just opened one in Oceanside in San Diego. So that's starting to roll across the country, and I'm not the only person that figured that out. So there's been a kind of a sea change in attitudes about helping veterans, that it's not just all give them the GI Bill and send them off to school.
So having worked with the vets that we've put through the program, what have you found are their biggest challenges in terms of the market today?
The veterans' biggest challenges?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's basically the same as most entrepreneurs, but, you know, the veterans have a little different edge to it, don't they?
I think the different edge is, Barbara, that they maybe don't think as big. They think kind of smaller. And part of this is because they don't have much exposure to the entrepreneur community. So they don't have other people to bounce ideas off of, that they don't have a community that they're used to being in, close to, that, you know, when you're around other people that are starting and running a business, you're like, hey, that's not that hard. I can do that. And look what he's doing. If he can do it, I can do it. So they don't have much exposure to the entrepreneur community. That's one of the challenges. Like all startups, they're both exhilarated and excited as well as scared out of their pee-picking minds. And so they're just hungry for information and for validation. So that's another challenge that we found. I think you were part of this, so you would know, is that they think it's going to happen faster than it's going to happen, that they have to apply themselves for a period of time and see it grow. So, you know, we recognize that there are other forces at work here, and they've been the military community doesn't teach you to be an individual, you know, or to make decisions and act on them on your own, you know. Mm-hmm. So these are things that they've had to learn to do and to trust themselves and their own instincts. So that's where I think the challenges are for the individual vets to, you know, to maybe a little bit different from the run-of-the-mill entrepreneur that is a civilian.
So what have you, you know, I know what we've done. I'm just, you know, but you've been the force out there. And how to tap into that? I can't even call it a market yet, but how do you tap into it? You know, I know we've had some help and you know, with the nonprofit that we're working with, but you know, is that the one place for it to come from, do you think?
You mean for veterans to tap into using it?
Yeah.
I think that this is one of the issues that everybody agrees is that there's so much stuff developing for veterans all of a sudden. Everything from social services to loans to all kinds of things, that the veteran doesn't quite know where to begin. So that's missing, is one central, one-stop place to say, you want to do this, go here. You want to do that, go over there. I think that's one of the biggest challenges that the veteran population is dealing with, is that suddenly there's this mind-bending, fire hydrant of services that people want to help them, which is good. The biggest problem we've found is to find funding. That's been a big challenge. But we're on our way to doing that. It takes time to build something like this and to get other people involved with it and institutions of higher learning and that kind of thing to get involved with it and to understand it as a viable alternative to getting a job. So, you know, we've faced challenges. The veterans themselves have faced a lot of challenges, but it's coming along. It's happening. You know, we feel really encouraged that the National Veterans Transition Services has taken us on as part of their reboot program. So, you know, we're in good company, and that took a while to find. So you can have some false
starts
along here.
That came from your past social work.
Yeah.
That's
well,
what I said.
You know,
you've always been the front runner on these things.
Things don't happen by accident.
I know. Nothing happens by accident, especially in San Diego here. It's the biggest small town that I've ever been around.
And everybody, don't burn any bridges because everybody knows everybody and and they remember. So that you know, it's a very good thing that, you know, we hope to say that we have a good reputation and that our hearts are in it, you know. Now there's, and we're not through with figuring out how this whole machine can work, you know. When we put a call out through Meetup, we discovered that there's a lot of people who would like to help veterans that are business owners to mentor them, but there's also a lot of people that want to get to them as a target market. So we have to be a little bit careful not to build something that people take advantage of. You know, we're a bit protective of the groups that we're putting together because we want them to succeed and make fewer mistakes. So we're very careful about who we allow in to talk to our veterans and to train them and to coach them or whatever. You know, we're very protective about that. So, but there is something to be said for tailoring your business to be able to work with veterans. If you have a good heart and you want to help and you're willing to take somebody on and maybe coach them a little bit and let's say financial literacy or whatever for a little bit of time, even though you might provide services once you have the relationship, then that seems to us to be pretty much acceptable if you'll give some free time to them. So, you know, we're going through a process, this is ongoing. It's never going to be finished. We're always going to be learning things where we're really tailoring the program so that it both benefits the veteran and benefits the community.
And we know that, you know, working with Reboot, that, you know, most of them that are more recently coming out, they're just having to reestablish themselves as what the heck is going on in this world that I haven't been in a few years. So, you know, there's that whole learning process comes into play as well. But just before we go on with this, in case any of our listeners would like to reach out to you after the show, how would you like them to contact you? Phone number, email, what would it be?
Yeah, the best way is by email, and they can reach me at Vicki at marketing-impressions.com or they can go to the website, which is veteranentrepreneurstoday.org, and they can look around in there, and there's lots of contact us information in there. So the best thing to do is to send me an email, and then, you know, we're always looking for veterans who need the help and want the help. That's part of the challenge, is finding people who just come out of the service and need this kind of assistance. So, but we have our channels too. So we, you know, we're putting the message out. So that's the best way, is through email, Vicki@marketing-impressions.com.
All right. So, what's the big picture here? What do you see? Where do you see this going? What's the big picture from your perspective?
Well, I'd like to see our model go nationwide, and because we think we have the best widget out there. We believe that, you know, there's a lot of online learning, which we consider low touch, so great, you can go online and take classes. But what really works and the most effective and is the most innovative is more of a high touch approach. And what that is to us is one-on-one mentoring and group mentoring, which is what we are applying the MindMaster model to veterans. That's where we feel this needs to go. So instead of hurting, you know, a zillion people through online learning, we feel it's better to do smaller groups of 20, 25 people at a time, assign them mentors in various fields, and walk them through their whole business process and their business decision making. And we feel like that high touch will produce more effective, successful people. So it's not a mass approach, and that's what we would like to see going nationally. We'd like to see that high touch approach under our model,
get out there. You know, the mastermind approach, you know, has been used, and it really has surprised me that hasn't really been put out there more in the veteran community. I know Reboot has done it, but apparently even their program, they're trying to get traction nationwide. So, you know, why selling it on a national basis seems a little bit out of reach at the moment seems weird to me. But,
well, we're flying under the wing of Maurice Wilson at the National Veterans Transition Inc.
Right.
He's the guy with the national contact.
Right.
He's well known. He comes out of the military community. He's super respected. And if there's anybody that can take it nationally, it's him. He's off in Washington, D.C. He's in Chicago. He's in Dallas. He's all over the place. Meeting with people. So if there's a megaphone, it's Mr. Wilson, you know. And that's
okay.
That's why we're happy and thrilled and honored to be picked up by him. So, you know, we couldn't do it alone. We had to do it as part of a team. And that's exactly how we think we can make it go national. Now, we're in the process of working with, I don't want to say who, but a large university, to attach some research to this so that we are really giving the world definitive information about veteran entrepreneurs and their success rate and what they're like and what they need, because there isn't a whole lot of really good research. I don't know where they get their numbers from, maybe from their TAP program, which you veterans take on the way out before they're discharged, but that information is needed, and the model that really works, the design that we can prove is effective with the research, is what's needed to get this nationally. And the interest of corporate America, because, you know, we don't want to be dependent on the government. We would rather see business support this.
And business is sticking their heads up, but jumping in, you know, they always need something that verifies it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They need credibility and proof, but the people that we're working with have that credibility that they might be willing to cough up enough money to do it for a couple of years and get the research out of it. So that's, you know, where we're coming from. But we are always looking for veterans to help who are running a business or starting a business. All they have to do is call me. We'll figure out a way to help them. They have to fill out an application. They have to go through a little bit of a vetting process, but it's nothing too onerous. And if you are not in the area and you hear this, we'll find the services that are available in your area for you. So, you know, in the end, it's really we want to help the people who serve the country and give them a leg up.
Well, if nobody else can, I can certainly hear the social worker in you showing up. It's like a flashing light all over the place.
I can't help it.
I know you can't help it.
I can't help it.
At least you called me your business partner.
You are.
Not the person you're helping.
No,
at any rate,
I'm not helping you.
I want to go back to, you know, you in particular. You know, you've been on the docket of managing clients and, you know, with the trends and the changes. You know, what's been the biggest challenge for you, you know, in terms of managing clients and taking on the projects now that are different than it was, as you said, 30 years ago?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's entirely different. I mean, the messaging isn't that different, but the media is different. You know, when I started, we were grounded in graphic design and print work, and I must have done a bazillion brochures, and all of that's gone. Now everything is online, and everybody's looking for the most productive way to be online. And it's really been an evolution in the last 10 years to what there's an understanding now of how you have to present your business online and what works, and it's constantly being refined and sharpened and updated and becoming more effective, and you really have to stay on that cutting edge because you'll get trampled by your competitors. And so that's been my biggest challenge, is I have to be ahead of everybody figuring out what works and what a lot of people don't know about that I can bring to the table to say, here, this is what you really should be doing. Because you can waste a lot of time and money and get frustrated by a lot of the BS that's on the Internet about what's going to work. You're bombarded by stuff that maybe doesn't work. So, and I have to tell you, a lot of what I've learned to stay cutting edge has come from my vendors. People who really are in the, you know, in the nitty-gritty of what works online. So this is what's changed, is that the whole thing has ended up being on that computer and knowing how to get business through that computer. Now, that doesn't mean you can stop. You got to really be out there, and you got to network, and you got to get to know people. That hasn't changed, basic networking. But the marketing part of it, which is what I do, has gone through a tremendous evolution. So I'm just hanging on for dear life. I'm figuring it out as much as I can, as fast as I can, so I can give it to my clients in a easy-to-understand, quick, and less expensive way.
So have you seen a change in the kind of clients that you deal with now?
Not really. You know, I think it's still, you know, women who want to start a business and run it. It's still families who want to run a business. There are people who've been in business for a long time who are like, oh, my God, I got to catch up. I have seen a lot of changes in business in general. You know, I've seen businesses get obliterated because now you can buy it on the Internet or whatever.
yeah.
But I've been in business for so long. I have one client that's been my client that's been a business, my client for 25 years, and he's retiring and he sold the business, and now I'm dealing with entirely new owners. So I haven't seen so much of, well, as these younger owners show up, they don't have the grounding in classic marketing. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of fall in love with their own ideas about the Internet, which is a little dangerous. So
they think everything's going to happen through the Internet.
They think everything's going to happen, and all I have to do is push the right button, and people are going to be the path to my door. And you have to be very careful, because maybe your market isn't thinking the same way you're thinking. So that's, you know, those are the small changes that I've seen. But by and large, you know, business owners are hungry for more business and want to know the secrets to marketing, and are open to trying new things, and it's not that you can do it for free. It's just you got to put your money in a different place. So, you know, these are the things that I've seen as changes. But it really helps to have been grounded in that basic marketing 101 to begin with. But I'm always trying to keep up with it. I just took a course in communications writing in Nashville, Tennessee, from a guy who really knows how to write compelling copy. So I'm always trying to stay on top of what works. This is a moving target, you know. People are not static. They're getting bombarded with so much of this stuff, they're changing. So it's quite a fun run to find out what's going to work. And I love it when it works, though. You know, when I get my clients more business and the phone is ringing and this thing has worked, I love that. That's exciting.
Well, you know, I've always seen for you, you know, you're very hands-on with your clients, and so you know when their business is increasing and where to make the adjustments. That's what I've always appreciated about watching you with your clients. So,
At any rate,
that's our show for today. I'd like to thank you, Vicki, for being our leading lady today.
Thank you for thinking of me.
Absolutely. And a special thanks for our listeners. Of course, next week is Labor Day, so we will be taking the day off. And so hope our audience has a day of relaxation and happy Labor Day. But we will be back on September the 12th, and our leading lady that Monday will be Windus Brinkhord. She's the Senior Vice President of Investments at Trilogy Financial Services. Her topic, how solid systems support success. And I know Windus, and she is just top in her field. So I do hope our audience will jump on and be a part of that. I'm Barbara Eldridge, the host of Trendsetting Women. Thank you for listening, and do make it a million-dollar day. Signing off.
Okay, bye-bye.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.